On a warm summer evening in July 2015, Sophie Charles and Henry Dick, a couple who live in West Bloomington, watched police respond to an altercation involving teenagers in their neighborhood. Then they saw police question a man who happened to be crossing Market Street at the same time with his partner and their child. The man began gesturing, tapping his ear and his hand. Charles and Dick soon realized that both the man and his wife are deaf and that the man had been gesturing for a notepad to write responses for the police. They tried to explain to officers that their neighbor had nothing to do with the fight, but the deaf man was soon in handcuffs. Police charged him with resisting arrest. The next day, Charles and Dick went to the police department to file a complaint about the officer's conduct. They are white. Their neighbor, who was arrested, is black. They say they were dissatisfied with both the complaint process and the outcome of the police internal investigation.
We realized that it was important for us to speak up about what we had seen. And so the next morning, we went to the Bloomington Police Department to file an official complaint. And they took us into a back room. And the very first thing that they did was ask us for our first and last names, and then they left the room. And then when they came back, they asked Henry, the officer asked Henry, "Oh, are you still living at that address on Washington Street?" Which is where he grew up. He hasn't lived there in years. However, what that indicated to us was that they were looking into us. You know, that oh, you come in to make a complaint on us? We're checking into you, too. Which I think, you know, since that experience has felt like an intimidation tactic, or at least something that makes people feel that they cannot come in there and voice a complaint without feeling that they are already, their credibility is being questioned. And I do believe that this is a process that should be available to people who have no criminal record and people who do have criminal records.
Maybe they were just checking to see if you had a criminal record. Would that be such a wrong thing, Henry?
Do I think it's wrong for them to investigate people who witness a situation? Not necessarily. But will that make it so people don't file complaints without question? It made me hesitate, and I have no criminal background.
Go ahead, Sophie.
And we already were intimidated by the fact that we were at the police department speaking to a police officer, a colleague of the people we now had a complaint about, and asking them to investigate their colleagues. So already that was a very intimidating process to have to go to the police department.
So then what was the rest of the process like, actually filing your complaint at the police department?
Mm-hmm. So we were told that this process would be confidential, that we would give our statement, and then it would take them 30 to 60 days to investigate the complaint. So meanwhile, his criminal charges are moving forward while the police department has 30 to 60 days to decide whether there was any wrongdoing on their part. So though that was still a very real concern of ours, so we sat down with the officer and gave our statement. And I think through that process, we felt pretty very much that they were trying to placate us, that what we were sharing with the officer was not something that gave them cause for concern or alarm, but that the process was there for us to feel better that somebody was listening to it. I did not get the impression that they were taking seriously the concerns that we had about a civil rights violation on a protected population.
Was that your reaction as well, Henry?
It was. And as a result of that, we requested to talk to somebody higher up. So we ended up sitting with Assistant Chief Sutherland for about an hour. I believe he's now retired.
Gary Sutherland. Yes, he's now retired.
Mm-hmm. We sat with him for about an hour, and he was a very good listener, but it felt like he was doing his best to kind of soften the way we felt, which is fine.
Did he have an explanation as to why this incident resulted in a resisting arrest charge?
Mostly the message he was trying to communicate was that this process is a very long process, and that at best, and this is where we started to get really frustrated, at best, they would get the process done in 60 days. And that's all he was trying to communicate. We tried to draw more out of him about what their thoughts are on this, and he said, we will investigate, we will investigate, we will investigate, but it takes a long time, and we're overworked, and it's difficult to get this process done. And to me, it just seemed like they were trying to create more and more leeway for themselves. That was the priority of this conversation.
And so we asked to speak to somebody higher up, which was Chief Hefner himself. And we did sit and talk with Chief Hefner again about these same concerns. And ultimately, he came out with the same result.
We're talking with Sophie Charles and Henry Dick. They are residents of West Bloomington, and they're talking about the need for a possible citizen review board of police complaints. Then did you seek to go higher up over the chief's head, say?
So at that same day, we went to State's Attorney Jason Chambers' office, because that's ultimately what Chief Hefner said was that after the charges have been filed, it's in his office. The ball is in his court. So then we tried to talk to him about what we saw. Basically, we talked to the person at the front desk. She said that Jason would call us, and we said we would really like to talk to somebody if we can. So a paralegal came out, I believe, and she also said that Jason was very busy. And we talked about the gravity of the situation, where somebody who has a disability was not given accommodation, and instead was criminally charged, and still we couldn't get any sort of way to file anything with the state's attorney's office. The best we could do was leave with assurances that Jason Chambers would call us, which he didn't, which was also frustrating. The day after we finalized our formal complaint with the police department, the same paddy wagon, the van that was driven by the arresting officer, it was parked across the street from our house.
What did you make of that?
It confirmed for us that it was not a confidential process, that what we had been assured when we went in to file the complaint had not been the case. And we felt very intimidated, very threatened.
At that point, we stopped communicating with the police department. We stopped communicating with the state's attorney's office.
What would you like to see change about the complaint process?
I think that based on our experience, it would have been very beneficial to have a separate entity to be able to go to file our complaints, to feel that there was a certain level of confidentiality, that there would not be retaliation for simply filing a complaint for something that concerned us, that we saw happening in the neighborhood. So an independent body who we would be able to go to file this complaint, who would be able to investigate further. So 71 days after we filed our complaint, we did get a letter from Chief Sutherland, Assistant Chief Sutherland, that our testimony was, what was the wording? Something about our claims were unfounded, our testimony was unsustained, and that ultimately the officers were exonerated.
So how did you feel then about that, Henry?
Through my experience with the complaint process, I have lost confidence that they have the capacity to review themselves, which makes me hesitant to call them if I have a problem, which makes me hesitant to call them if I witness something, because I'm worried about my neighbors who have not done anything wrong. I'm worried about the black residents walking through my neighborhood who are just trying to go about their daily lives. And through this experience, I have learned that when the police are involved, I am putting my neighbors at risk. So something needs to happen here.
Sophie Charles and Henry Dick, I want to thank you for coming in and chatting about this.
Thanks so much for having us.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for having us.
I'm Judy Valente.